for those of you who maybe haven't been at the church that long, it's true to say you used to be around the church.
Yes.
But you're now at YWAM Scotland.
That's correct.
And just also, there's not just a link that Ian used to be here and he's now at YWAM, but we actually, through our missionary fund, support Ian on a monthly basis. So it's not just that we're interested in what he's doing, we're actively involved in what you're doing. So you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Noel. Thank you. Noel, it's great to be here. You can put the first slide up. Yeah, so I was around the church from 1999 until 2005, on and off. I did my DTS in 2004, so I was away for 6 months and then back for three. And you know, St. Mary's is still, I think back to a lot of my early days as a Christian. It really supercharged my discipleship. And so I continue to come back, not just because you're still a part of what I'm doing in Scotland, but also because you invested in me so heavily. I have so many fond memories of being involved in youth fellowships or being in the back hall on a Friday night with a prayer meeting with the same slightly out of tune guitar singing mission praise songs, but the presence of God was there, and it just continued to instill a hunger in me for more of what God could do. That here was me just giving my yes, but what could he do with that? And so it's an honor to continue to come back every chance I get. So yes, that's a wee bit about me. We've got my wife Deborah, who's here with my sister Sharon, and my three kids, Zoe, Hannah, and Aidan. I like to keep us busy, like to keep us on our knees in prayer times. and we've been serving with YWAM Scotland. Well, Deborah started in 2001, and I joined staff in 2005. And in that time, we were up at Aberdeen for a few years before coming back. And currently, we serve in Seamill, which is level with Glasgow on the coast, not too far away from Largs, which is kind of Scotland's version of Bangor. It's a place you go for your ice cream on a sunny day. so that's roughly where we are. What do we do? If you could put, here's a slide of, this is the building, the top left. So part of my role there is part of the leadership team of Seamill, and we oversee this building which can sleep 100 people. I'm facilities manager, so I look over the maintenance, the boiler, the health and safety. I'm getting text messages from somebody about the washing machine this morning, which apparently is overflowing, so that's another day. top right, we're investing in songwriting and song production, because I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the radio, there's so many songs which may be catchy, but then all of a sudden you realize, what are these songs saying? I kind of feel a bit gross inside listening to it. So I want to be a part of releasing songs of hope, songs which are missional in nature, that tell about who God is, but in ways of yeah, that are pleasing to the world, that they know that there's something more than just worship songs. So that's what we've got going on. We love hosting big groups. This was a DTS workshop for Western Europe, so there's probably 100 or so in the building. Like I said, the max capacity for staying overnight is 100, but we can host more than that during the day. And then the bottom right is our DTS classroom, where for me, it's the kind of bread and butter of what we do. It's that sense of being able to bring 18, 19-year-olds through and help them see who God is and see how they can play a part in the Great Commission. So that's a wee bit about what we do. The scripture, if you wouldn't mind going on one, this is Hannah. The scripture passage this morning, as I prayed for you guys this morning, the biggest message I had for you was, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And that's the message I felt from the Lord today. But to look at what Paul, or what the writer of Hebrews was talking about when he said this, you got to have that first wee bit. You know, those earlier days when you received the light, when you endured in great conflict, full of suffering. An encouraging message for you this morning. In these days, to be a Christian meant very clearly to say Jesus is Lord. A real sense of the lordship of Christ being evident. And for that to happen, Christians, early Christians, knew what the cost was. It wasn't a light thing. It wasn't in a momentary decision. It usually happened over the course of discipleship, and then they said yes to being a Christian because they knew the cost. They knew their jobs could go, they knew property could go, they knew family could reject them. And ultimately, to say yes to Jesus as Lord meant to say no, Caesar's not Lord. And so this is the conflict, this is the persecution that's going on, the reality of what it could mean to say yes to Jesus. And so they had counted the cost and says, yeah, I want to do this. So they're saying that you suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. It was real. See, nowadays we end up saying yes to Jesus, and then when trouble comes, we say no. Because he isn't really Lord of our life. It's difficult. The story unfolds for us, and we say, oh, I didn't realize this is what I was saying yes to. But for the early Christians, they were very clear what they said yes to. And so when I'm talking about confidence, it's the reality of saying, who is the one that we have confidence in? See, they came to the point of saying, even if I say all of this disappears, God is still worth it. Even if everything else goes wrong in life, Jesus is still worth it. And that's the source of their confidence. It was the inside out, not the outside in. You know? So what does it mean? I heard a guy talking about people who had like a crazy radical salvation story, you know, the kind of lifestyles that you hear about in books and things like that. And he has one of these, and people say to him, man, you've got such a great story. I wish my testimony was that good. And he said to him, says, if you think like that, you don't realize what Jesus has done for you. You know, your value is not dependent on anything you've done in this life. Your value is purely on the fact that God has chosen you. That he has said, you're my son, you're my daughter. That is where your value is. Not on what you've done or haven't done. Not on what you could have done but didn't. Your value is based on the fact that he has chosen you. You don't earn anything. You know, being in YWAM, I've got lots of challenges. You know, we don't have a salary. We don't have a stable income. And so there's a lot of kind of costs and things like that. But you know what? It's not like I'm more of a Christian than you, you know? My Christianity, my relationship with God is purely based on the fact that he has chosen me, the same as he's chosen you. And so what am I saying by that? I'm saying that some of my lifestyle choices, I'm kind of forced into it. I'm kind of forced into some of the kind of faith aspects of life, which I'll tell some stories about in a minute. But that doesn't mean you can't have them too. You know, like, because I don't have a stable income, I can't just decide to go out and buy a new TV or go on a trip somewhere. We have to pray about it, say, God, is this what you're wanting of me? And that's the same whether you have a stable income or not. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Could you go on the next slide, please? So as you keep in view God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. This is a story. This is an outreach that Zoe, my oldest daughter, and I went on at Easter time this year. And a quick story about this. What looks like success in the eyes of the world doesn't always look like success in God's kingdom. So we were planning this trip, and we had there was five of us going. We prayed and felt like there was three locations to go to. It's in Morocco. So we went to Marrakesh, Fez, and Salé. And Salé is a town that nobody's really heard of. In fact, when I told Moroccans that we were going to Salé, they're like, oh, that's dangerous. You shouldn't go there. You know, you better watch out. And of course, with me, with my daughter there, I'm even more nervous now, you know. But we clearly heard God say to go to Salé. So we're doing our research before we went, and we found out that it's a city that's kind of known for royalty. It's also known for piracy, like pirates. That's why people still has that reputation of lawlessness. The king lives there, and there's a few other bits and bobs. So we thought, oh, maybe there's something God wants to proclaim over this country about royalty. So we're about to go, about a week before we go, and one of the other team members gets a message from somebody. This is a typical YWAM. So we're in Scotland, and this girl's from the States, from America. And she gets a message from a German friend who she met on a school in Germany. And she says, oh, my husband's Moroccan. Oh, great, where's he from? Sally. Oh, interesting. He's got family still there. They'd love to meet you. Super. Right, so we landed in Marrakesh, had a great few days there, praying, doing some good stuff there. Went to Fez, again met up with a Moroccan there and was able to get a walking tour of the city and pray and intercede. We get to Sally, and again, kind of getting to know the city a wee bit, and then meet up with this this family. So it turns out that there's three brothers and a sister and the mum and the dad, and they're all believers. The mum became a believer through watching Arabic Christian TV. It was Joyce Meyer in Arabic, and recounting the story of Esther. And in that moment, God really spoke to this woman, and she gave her life to Christ. And the husband followed, and the family followed, and they've been walking through persecution, through what we read about here, walking through that level of persecution in Morocco. And so we get to meet with the brother, one of the brothers and the sister, and get to spend time with them and encourage them. We'd heard from the Lord for them and written down some words that we felt God wanted to encourage them with. And it's just wonderful whenever these guys are in their kind of mid to late 20s and be able to encourage them and speak directly into their lives, even though I'd never met them. And that was phenomenal, one of the highlights of our trip. But then the next day got even better. It was like God kept the saving the best for last. So the next day we have lunch with two brothers and the mum and the dad. And again, getting to pray with first generation believers, going through the midst of persecution, being able to encourage them, being able to inspire them, being able like to minister in some way, even though these guys are the heroes, and that they're in floods of tears saying, thank you so much for coming and encouraging us. Made the whole trip worthwhile. You know, and it's that sense of saying, was it worth it to go and simply pray with someone? I can do that here, but yes, it was, because they don't have that. We were their oasis in the desert, which is just mind-blowing to me. See, oftentimes it's easy for us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices because we know, okay, we need to count the cost, but we forget to keep in view God's mercy. Don't throw away your confidence, St. Mary's. It will be richly rewarded. It's your confidence that gives you the ability to step through the persecution, step through the challenges that you're facing. Okay? Next slide, please. See, Jesus is our rich reward. There's nothing in this life that comes close to him. See, every part of our lives, whether it be doing the dishes or praying with someone, whether it be in a worship time or doing your day-to-day job, every part of your life can lead you closer in relationship with Jesus. YWAM was founded by a guy called Lauren Cunningham, and he was in a prayer meeting one time, and somebody asked him a question. He says, Lauren, how long do you spend with God before you start your day? And he says, I don't understand your question. He says, how long? I mean, what's your quiet time like? I mean, how long do you spend reading your Bible and praying before you go on and do other things? He says, I still don't understand what you're asking of me. So the guy tried to ask him again. He says, no, hear me. I don't start my day with Jesus and then forget about him. He's part of my all day, every day. There's a mission builder program in YWAM where we get plumbers, electricians, builders, you name it, anything to come in and serve. And there was a plumber from Scotland who was working in Kona, Hawaii. And Darlene, or Lauren's wife, was walking up the stairs and heard, I think his name was Doogie, heard him in the bathroom trying to work on something, saying, oh, this isn't going to work. Jesus, well, how do you do this? Jesus, that's not going to work. Oh, no, it did. Thank you. What is it like to live every day with your rich reward being your relationship with Jesus? Doesn't matter the cost. Doesn't matter what you do, whether you're working in the bank or whatever. What is it like to welcome Jesus into every aspect of your life? Next slide, please. Perseverance. Perseverance. The confidence what God has done for us is what gives us the ability to persevere. Now, I don't know, have you ever been told you're stubborn? Just me? All right. Being a dad, it's really convicting sometimes to have a kid ask you for something that you know that you do, it's not good for them. Like Aiden, our youngest this morning, he always wants sweets, right? Oh, sweetie, oh, sweetie. He's got perseverance. And, you know, as a dad, I don't want to parent perseverance out of him. But yet I want it to be sanctified. You know, and it's a challenge for us as parents, because kids know what it's like to persevere, to keep knocking on that door until mom or dad says yes. You know? I love some of these pictures. They talk about what perseverance can bring, the calluses on the hands, the perseverance of continuing to walk. I love that guy's face on the far there. The joy. What is it like to have perseverance yet tenderness? See, if your confidence isn't in Christ, then perseverance will end up into calluses that harden. But if your perseverance is in Christ and you know the source of why you're doing what you do, then your perseverance is going to continue to bring tenderness. You're going to be marked by tenderness. A few years ago, God asked us to pursue buying a house. And a few years before that, we were living in Aberdeen, and we'd pursued buying a house there because God talked to us about putting a stake in the ground and being known that God had done something in the city. And Aberdeen's a very wealthy city, and it didn't quite work out the way we hoped for, so it was a lot of years of getting our hopes up and having them dashed. And, you know, when God brought back the desire for owning our own house, you can imagine the first thing that came to mind was all those disappointments, all those times when it didn't happen. And it was a challenge, it was a faith challenge to say, okay, God, we believe you're saying this again, so we want to say yes to you. Help us to say yes. And because, you know, especially as a guy, I can be reasonably happy in pretty much anywhere. But Deborah, as a wife and a mother, wanting to create home, she's not satisfied with just anywhere. There's plenty of places where I was going up and seeing a house and thinking, oh yeah, this could work. And she's like, no, not even close. And in fact, when we went to the banks initially says, no, you're too poor to get a mortgage, because our income wasn't big enough. So we got a financial advisor, and he helped us for a while, and we got to the stage of him getting a bank to say yes, that we can loan them this amount of money. And so we saw a house that would kind of match, and we thought, okay, let's go for it. And it ended up that the three people at the bank said yes, and then the fourth person, the actual underwriter, said no. And it was again that sense of like hopes being raised and then dashed. We're like, well, what do we do? The financial advisor gave a throwaway comment, oh, but there is one more option. You know, spiritual ears picked up, oh, really? Okay, what's that? And he helped us see a way to invite supporters into investing in the house with us. And so we pursued, we prayed, breakthrough happened, we were able to purchase a house thanks to the generosity of supporters and the faithfulness of God. So we were able to move into a house with no mortgage. People invested in the house, and the plan was that after 10 years we were going to pay everybody back. So we got a lawyer to write up the deeds, write up the contract, and that's what we agreed to. So moving from where we were living and paying rent into moving into a house by ourselves with no mortgage and no rent, we had a certain chunk of money that was extra. I thought, great, I can set that aside into savings in order to pay people back after 10 years. The month we moved in, our monthly income dropped by about that amount, because God is generous, but he loves to keep us dependent. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. The house we moved into was a two-bedroom end terrace. We had three kids. We shared a house, shared a room. But we went with an architect to view the property, and we knew we could extend into the loft space, so we did. We were able to extend into the attic space. And so with another close to £40,000 worth of improvements, we now have a three-bedroom house. We've been in there, it'll be 4 years in November. Glory to God, the house, everybody has already been paid back. Unbelievable. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You know what? The times when God released things, the times whenever he showed himself faithful, is more exciting than having a house that's paid for. You know? Okay, next one. When you have done the will of God, how do you know when it's done? Because it's done. But Jesus says, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You know, God loves it when we start well with him, but he also loves it when we finish well. You know, and oftentimes we think of all the challenges that we face as a problem, as an issue. Counsel a lot of folks here struggling with finances in YWAM, youth without any money. No, youth with abundant mansions, is what I'm saying. Anyway, and we often think of, well, this challenge, this shortfall, this flight that needs paid for, that's an issue, that's a problem. He says, no, it's not. It's a chance for God to show himself. You know, how do you know when it's done? God loves to set challenges so that we can see them happen. There was an outreach team that went to China. They knew that God had told them to go to China, and they knew they didn't have enough money for the entire outreach. And so they're praying about, God, what do we do? We've got enough to get there and to live for a while, but not to finish the outreach. What should we do? And God told them to go. Remember, if your confidence is in yourself, you'll say, but I don't have enough money. But if your confidence is in the Lord, you'll say, yes, God, now what's the question? And so they said yes to going. And sure enough, halfway through the outreach, their finances ran out. So they're like, okay, God, we've got a small bit of finance left. What do we do? And they prayed, and they felt like they were supposed to take communion. So they went to the local shop, bought a loaf of bread, and bought some juice, right? Came back, and they're celebrating communion together. As they pray and break open the bread, it is stuffed full of money. Enough for the rest of their outreach. How do you know when you've done the will of God? He loves to prove himself. He loves to show himself faithful. And it's easy to stand back and say, okay, God, when you show yourself faithful, I'll move forwards. Sorry. My experience has been that as you walk, trembling, knowing your confidence is not in your flesh, but on him, that's when he shows himself faithful. Another quick story, similar. There was a young fella who was, as most YWAMers do, spend our life in airports or train stations. So he's in an airport waiting for a plane, reading his Bible, being all nice and holy. And he senses this voice telling him to close his Bible, go over to the wall, and to stand on his head. And he rebukes Satan and says, no, I'm reading my Bible. Leave me alone. I'm being holy. Again, this voice comes. Close your Bible, go over to that wall, and stand on your head. Okay, God, puts it down, goes over to the wall, does a handstand in the airport. Immediately, somebody comes up to him and says, what are you doing? He says, oh, here we go, I'm going to get thrown out. I'm standing on my head. Why? What would you answer? He's like, because I believe God told me to. I told God this morning, if you're real, get somebody to stand on their head for me. How do you know when you've done the will of God? Next, please. Those who have faith, we are those who have faith and are saved. You know, it's that sense of being part of his big story. You know, it's saying, I don't have anything to offer except the quality of my relationship with Jesus. You know, I can be educated, I can have some resources to give away, I can do whatever, but if it's not about him, if it doesn't increase somebody else's walk with the Lord, does it impact eternity? There is no testimony without a test. Okay, last one. That is the last one. Okay. So I just want to finish with a story from Mark 5. So in Mark 5, is the story of Jairus' daughter and Jesus going to minister to a girl who's about to die, and then the crowds swarming around him. So the crowds are swarming Jesus as he goes to minister to this religious leader's daughter. And this woman says, I need healing. I need a touch. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so we know the story that she does so. She manages to sneak up, even though she was unclean, and sneakily touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and he stops. Who touched me? His disciples are like, what are you talking about? Who touched you? Everybody touched you. Can you not see the crowds crowding around you? He says, no, somebody touched me. Power for healing left me. See, how often do the crowds come to meet with Jesus? And how often do we come with faith? She knew that she could come with faith and receive from Jesus, even though the crowds touched him. You know, my life, how often do I come with Jesus and just be part of the crowd? How often am I coming to Jesus with faith? You know, I am quite hyperactive. I like being involved in lots of different things. But just turning up's not enough. Turning up with faith, with expectancy in your heart. Samaritans, I've really felt for you guys that you're in the midst of a trial, but God says don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. As you continue to pursue him with faith, it will be richly rewarded. As you continue to demonstrate love to the community around you, it will be richly rewarded. As you choose to say, okay, I don't see how this is going to happen, God, but I trust you more than myself, it will be richly rewarded. So let me just pray for you guys, and then that'll be me. Father, I want to thank you that you love to stir our faith. I thank you, God, that you put challenges in our life, not because you're displeased with us, but because you desire more perseverance in our life. That you, God, can release more of yourself, more relationship, more of the rich reward of intimacy with Jesus, through pursuing you in the midst of challenges. So I pray, God, for each individual here, that you would continue to inspire them with who you are. For those who need that fresh touch of confidence, that fresh touch of faith, God, I ask that you would reveal yourself to them. And God, for those who know the direction they're walking in, I pray, God, for the confidence to keep it in one foot after the other. God, because you're not finished with this place yet. God, you're not finished with this place yet. So I ask, God, for a fresh revelation of your confidence in the midst of Samaritans. And I ask, God, in your name and for your glory. Amen.